Do you trust Jesus this morning? Give him a clap offering. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, praise team. I trust Jesus too. Amen. Do you trust Pastor Kevin? He said, would you fill in for me? I said, I'd be happy to. But I says, let me warn you, I'm old-timey. It's okay. I said, I'm Pentecostal. It's okay. I said, I do things kind of crazy. It's okay. I'm kind of a sing and preach kind of preacher. And I retired in September last year. And he had the nerve to give me a microphone and people. And I said, is the microphone going to be turned on? And I said, I don't know when I'll get done. He said, go ahead. I'll be on vacation. It's so good to be in God's house this morning. Thank you for the opportunity. I trust that God will speak to us this morning. It's good to see each and every one of you. I'm still trying to get to know everybody by name. We joined in with this church in September when I retired from pastoring full time. My wife and I, Rachel, she's up there working. She goes right to work. I keep a low profile. I'm really kind of quiet, but who laughed? But I love the Lord, and I fall in love with His Word, and I am a little bit different, so if you'll bear with me just for today, but it's just so good. Matter of fact, today, we have a guest from Canada that's with us. Abby, it's good to have you. We have a guest from South Carolina, Melinda, from back in my hometown. It's good to have you here. And there are others here, I'm sure, and it would miss if I tried to name everyone. Number one, I'm still learning. But anyway, if you're just joining with me this morning and worship the Lord. Now, if you're quiet, to me that means you didn't get the point. And I need to go over it another 30 minutes. And if you say amen, that means you got it, but you want more. If I see you look at your watch, I know it's time for the Mexican restaurant. And if I see you turning over a calendar, I've been here too long. Amen. I asked Sister Lola if she would help me this morning. Let me get into it. Like I said, I sing and I preach. So anywhere during the message, we may just stop and worship the Lord. If you want to stand with me and sing, but I want you to sing with me because that's part of worship too. But I want to talk about Elijah and Elijah this morning because they took a journey that I believe that we can all identify with. And in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, there around verse 19, it says, so he departed thence and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took the yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. And then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Now, for the simple fact that Elijah was plowing with 12 oxen with all of the instruments tells us that he was to do well off. And Elijah passed by and dropped his mantle on him. And Elijah says, hold on a minute. Let me go kiss my mother and my father goodbye. But there's more in here. There's a little nugget that we can understand because I saw what he did. And I just kind of talk in metaphors. Elijah had a barbecue for the community. Yes, oh, absolutely. It makes me want to leave now and go to the restaurant, don't it? Elijah, it says in that verse that we read, that he took the oxen that he was plowing with, with the instruments that he was using to plow the furrows, and he boiled the oxen with the kindling of the instruments, and they had a big community barbecue. What he's doing there is the same thing that we should be doing, because he is fixing to take a journey towards the double anointing, as we refer to it. But he's forgetting the things of the past, like the word says, and looking towards the things of the new. We even read in Hebrews 12 and 1, says, lay aside every weight that does so easily beset us. And if you remember the day that you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, there came a time that you should have also had a barbecue. You should have also barbecued those things that tied you through the past. Because when I met the Lord and I began the journey with him, I didn't go to where I used to go. I didn't do the things I used to do. I didn't say the things I used to say. I didn't treat people the way I used to treat them, because I had a barbecue. I burned those bridges because I'm not going back that way anymore. Give the Lord a clap offering. I don't have any use for it. So have you had a barbecue in your life? It ain't too late. I'm just going to jump right into it. There's a song that says, I'd rather have Jesus. You ever heard that song? I'd rather have him than anything. I'd rather have him than all the silver and the gold. I'd rather have him than a Mercedes. If you got one, it's okay. I'd rather have him than all this world has to offer. All I want is Jesus Christ himself, my Lord and my Master, because he's the first and the last. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the altogether lovely one. He's the fairest among thousands. He's the lily of the valley, and he's my soon coming King. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I'd rather have Jesus, sing with me, than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand, oh, than to be a king of a vast domain and be hailed in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Sing it with me. Oh, I'd rather have Jesus than worldly applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name, oh, than to be a king of a vast domain and be hailed in sin's dread sway. Oh, I'd rather had Jesus than anything this world affords today, than to be a king than to be a king of a vast domain, than be hailed in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything in this world affords today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, just talk to us this morning. Glory. Where are you going after the barbecue? Sister Dee was talking Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago, and she said some people come to Jesus, get salvation, and then they just sit down. But can I tell you, that's not what God intended us to do. If we're just going to sit there, we don't need the armor of God in warfare. God has called us on a journey. But you know, a place called, in verse 1, here we go, 2 Kings, 2 chapter, verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take Elijah into heaven by the whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now, Gilgal is a place of new beginnings. Gilgal is the place where God told Joshua, I'm going to remove the reproach off of my children of Israel. Gilgal is a place where he says, I'm going to take them out of Egypt and take Egypt out of them, and I'm going to set them free. Gilgal is a place of a new beginning, to where he also cut off the manna that was fallen, and he let them live off of the provisions of the land. Well, Gilgal is a wonderful place, but it is a place that does not necessarily contain the power that you need in earthly spiritual warfare. Please balance this. It does have power, because Gilgal is a place of salvation. But Elisha told Elijah, stay here, just remain right here, because God is sending me to a place called Bethel. Now, in Bethel, in the next verse, we find this. Lord, I'm going to get ahead of myself. And Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel, to a place of total surrender. How many of you have made your way to Bethel from Gilgal this morning? A place of total surrender. You see, it was in Bethel, to where Abraham put his tent. He drove down the stakes, and he said, I'm going to serve God. It's a place there where God says, your inheritance is going to be like the sands of the sea. It was also in Bethel, to where Jacob had a dream, and he made a vow to God. Now, Bethel is a wonderful place to be. It's a place of decision. I said, have you made that decision? Amen. I'm going to say something. Bear with me. But there's no power in a decision. Thank you. I can go outside all day long. When my wife lets me mow the grass, that's her job. That's her job. She likes to meditate with the headphones. But I can look at the grass and say, well, we got to cut this grass. I can look at that lawnmower and put the gas in it, air up the tires. I've made a decision. I'm going to cut grass. I've made a decision. This 6 acres in the next 5 hours is going to be cut. But I can sit right there and look at that lawnmower for 6 hours, and not the first blade of grass is going to fall until I get on it, turn it on, engage the mower. I can make a decision, but nothing is going to happen until I participate with action, elbow grease, faith, working for the Lord, kingdom work in that decision. Now, the way we're going to do it again, might as well get ready. My God, when you've had a good old barbecue of the old sinful life, when you have made that journey from Gilgal to Bethel, and you made a decision to follow God, whenever nothing else matters, don't matter who's looking, don't matter who's critical, don't matter what the world says, don't matter if society is going cray-cray, it doesn't matter what the politics are doing, it doesn't matter what's happening around this world, when you've decided to follow God, I'm here to tell you, God will give you the anointing to go forward for Him. Hallelujah. I don't even know where to go. Have you decided this morning? I'll try and make this the last one. It's my desire. Hallelujah. You know this song? It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire, oh, to live for Him. Though I've often failed and I've caused Him shame, but it's my desire to live for Him. If you could see, stand with me this morning, where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. Hallelujah. You can take this world, its wealth and riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire. Is it your desire to help someone today? Someone who may have failed to see the way. 'Cause I know one day I was lost, but I found my way back to God. Now it's my desire to live for Him. Do you know where He brought you from? If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. You can take this world, its wealth and riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire to live for Him. Oh, if only you, if you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. You can take this world, its wealth and riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire. It's my desire. Oh, it's my desire to live for Him. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Elijah wasn't there. Sit down, I'm not done yet. You thought you were going to lunch, didn't you? Elijah said, Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee. Stay right here in Bethel, a place where you made a decision. Stay at that place of a total surrender. As the Lord has sent me to Jericho, and he says, the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Can I tell you something? You can make a decision and this next step. I wish I could sugarcoat it, but I can't. People say that living a Christian life is a bed of roses. No troubles, no trials, no persecutions. I don't know what God you're serving. But my God grows me. But to make a decision from going from Bethel to Jericho is a big step. How will I know when I get to Jericho? Can I put it in everyday language? All of hell is going to break loose. Because warfare surrounds the birth of a miracle. Warfare precedes the blessings and the promise and the provisions. And when you arrive in Jericho, you're going to know it. But I promise you, in Jericho is where you're going to meet the Lord, the captain of hosts. I promise you, in Jericho is where you're going to meet Jehovah Jireh, the provider. I promise you, in Jericho is going to place that you're going to meet Jehovah Nissi, a banner that flies in the battlefield. You're going to meet Jehovah Rapha, the healer. You see, it was in Jericho. Near Jericho, where Jesus was in the mount for 40 days and 40 nights, and he said these words, it is written. And if you understand to go from Bethel to Jericho, and when you're there and the enemy comes against you, all you got to say is, devil, it is written. I don't write it, I just read it. And because I can read it, I know the word of God, and he will see you through. It was in Jericho where Joshua, God told him in the 6th chapter around verse 5. He says, I've given into thine hand the mighty king and the valor men thereof. He says, but I'm going to knock the walls flat. And to me, that just tells me that when the walls of Jericho were not flat and they were all up there laughing at Joshua's army, that means he brought them right down eyeball to eyeball, nose to nose. And God said, go into the city and take it because I have prevailed in this war. In Jericho is not an easy place to be. The problem that we have in Jericho is you can't lollygag through it. Is it all right if I just give you the word of what I read this morning? Matthew 17:21. Your Bible may not have that, but it'll be in the footnotes somewhere. Howbeit this kind goeth not but by prayer and fasting. Because Jericho becomes a place of extreme torment. Extreme persecution and fighting. Because that's what God called us to be soldiers. A lot of people will leave Jericho and run back to Bethel and say, oh, let me rethink this decision. I never knew it would be so hard. Let me just kind of rethink this thing. Okay, somebody said, come on. We go between Jericho and Bethel, Jericho and Bethel, Jericho and Bethel, because when the pressure gets hot, we run back and we think, well, let me rethink this thing. Did God really tell me to go there? Sometimes it becomes like musical chairs. Some of you may be going to Jericho right now. Can I say this? Hold on. You may be going through Jericho now, and the devil's trying to tell you, oh, you totally sold out. You made a decision. You made the wrong one. Can I tell you that we serve a way maker? We serve an almighty God. We serve one. If he can't take you over the mountain, he can't take you under. He'll take you straight through it. We serve a God who will make a way when there seems no way. We serve a God when your gas tank says empty, the Spirit of God says enough. We serve a God who will put food in the cupboard when you know there wasn't nothing left. We serve a God when you get into Jericho, have no fear because God is on your side. Jericho is a tough place to be. Jericho is a place that it's just a place of warfare. But listen, you got to go through it. There are times you just can't go back. You got to go forward. Oh, is that Ron Canole? He wrote that song, "If You're Going Through Hell, Don't Stop, Keep Going." Jericho, I know it's tough, but thank the Lord for verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." Now you know now, he's going to say, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. I'm surprised that ain't in the King James Version. "As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." You see, he knew that Jordan represents a place of miracles. He came from Gilgal, a place of surrender. I mean, a new beginning. He came from Bethel, a place of total surrender. He went through Jericho, a place of warfare. And now he's at a place called Jordan, which is a place of miracles. It was in Jordan to where Naaman, he dipped himself 7 times and God healed him of leprosy. He was in Jordan to where Jordan, God parted the waters and they crossed on dry ground. Matter of fact, in 2 Kings around the 19th, 20th chapter, or 1 Kings, it was in Jordan where God did something spectacular. He defied the laws of gravity. Yes, he did. Elijah said, "Servant, where fail it?" How many of you know what I'm talking about? Made the axe head to swim. The servant was cutting down wood and it fell into the Jordan River. And he put a stick in and it floated to the top. Did you know you serve a God that can do that? Are you sure? I read a commentary one time that said it might be that Elijah cut down a stick that had a sharp point on it, and when he stuck it in the water, he had to slide it right through the eye of the axe head. Read another commentary that said he cut it in the form of like a slingshot, and because of that, when he put it in the water, he scooped it up. Now, that's what they say, but can I tell you something? I read my word. I serve a God who can open blinded eyes when they've been blind from birth. I serve a God who can cause the lame to get up and walk and carry the thing that carried them. I serve a God who can part the Red Sea. And I know good and well he can make a little axe head swim because we serve an awesome God who has power over all things, even gravity. And he has power over your life. In Jordan is a place of miracles. My, my, my. It was in Jordan. Oh, I got plenty of time left. I got 3 hours. My goodness, I'm trying to rush. It was in Jordan that John the Baptist was baptizing people. And Jesus walked up to him. And he said, "Baptize me." And John says, "I can't do that." And he said, "Boy, don't you fail me now. This was written thousands of years ago." And John baptized him. And he took Jesus, a carpenter's son, and put him under the water. When that water just kind of, if you can imagine this, when it kind of settled, under the water went humanity. Under the water went a carpenter's son. Under the water went a mama's boy. Under the water went a cousin. Under the water went a brother. But I'm here to tell you, when he brought him back up, here came the Messiah. Here come the King of Kings. Here come Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And when when he came out of the water, it was a triune divine reunion. The Holy Spirit descended as a dove on his shoulder. The Heavenly Father showed up in his voice. Jesus was there. And he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jordan is a place of miracles. If you can just press through, your Jordan is right around the corner. Amen. Now, if I preach to 2 o'clock, it's going to be your fault over there. We want to. We want this double anointing. We want this portion. But listen, it takes a place of a new beginnings when Jesus saved you. It takes a place like Bethel to make a total surrender and mean it. It takes a place of Jericho, and I'm sorry. Well, I'm not really sorry. You'll see Jesus there. It takes a place of Jericho for warfare. But I'm here to tell you, when you are God's people, you'll come to a place from Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho. You'll come to Jordan, and you'll walk in his presence. It don't mean there won't be more trials. It don't mean there won't be more things going on in your life. But I'm here to tell you, when you've proven that God will come through, he will never fail you. Oh, I got to keep going. Can I go just a little bit further? Let me rephrase it. I'm going a little bit further. 2 Kings 9th. There's something behind all this. Somebody said, "You can preach as long as you want. Just lock the door behind you when you leave." And it came to pass when they were gone over Elijah, sent to Elijah, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I'm taken away from thee, before I be taken away from thee." And Elijah said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he said unto him no more, and he saw him no more, and he took a hold of his own clothes, and he rent them into pieces. I believe the reason that he hollered, my father, and the horses thereof, he wanted to make sure that he knew that he went through all these steps. And what he was asking for, he was paying very close attention. Attention to detail, to be in the right place at the right time for the right purpose. He said, "Give me that double portion," and he saw it. I told you I'd get just a little theatrical every now and then. Can you hang with me? The chariot of fire came. And the mantle fell. Did y'all sleep the stage? No, I'm kidding. The mantle fell. I got the anointing. I got it. Have you got it this morning? Look, there it is. I preached a sermon one time. Whoop, there it is. Don't question me. I got the anointing because it's right there. I got it. I paid attention. I was there. But you see, it requires something of you. In verse 13, Elijah had to do something. He had to pick it up. It says, "And he took up also the mantle that fell from him and went back and stood by Jordan." Can I tell you this morning, you got to pick it up. Can I tell you this morning that God's got an anointing for you? God's got a blessing, an anointing, and a work for you that he has ordained. Luke, let's do something crazy. Come here a minute, man, will you? But there's a problem sometimes. It don't happen here. I know it don't. I'm talking about the church down the street. How about put that on, buddy? It won't bite you. It goes the other way. What you think?
Too big.
Too big? Boy, that sure wasn't my point. How come it don't fit? It ain't yours? Trust me. You'll grow into one. But let me see that coat for a second. Thank you, buddy. Can I tell you something? God has got an anointing that's tailor-made for you. He's got an anointing that only you can wear. He's got an anointing that he has sent to you, but he's looking for us to pick it up, put it on, and go to work. Have you been wearing your anointing lately? Oh, I need to bring this. I'm trying to bring this thing down to a close. Oh, my Lord. I told you, I'm crazy. Can I go out on a limb here and chase a rabbit for a moment down a hole? I believe it'll do us a little bit of good. I'm going to be very, very careful because I give honor to Pastor Kevin for allowing this opportunity. And I give honor to the atmosphere of the church that I'm so proudly affiliated with. But we live in a world today of about five generations. Builders, boomers, bridgers, generation X, Y, Z, Q, R, S, whatever. We live in a crazy world today, but sometimes the craziness slips into the church. Hey, I'm going out there. All you got to do is never invite me back. But we have five generations under one roof. Elisha and Elijah, two generations, elder, younger, traveled from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to Jordan and to the place of the end of his life. They walked together. I was studying this and I've talked about this many times, but I saw something. In 2 Kings, 2nd chapter, the 8th verse and the 14th verse. Both of them did the same miracle with the mantle. They parted the waters. Can I tell you something? We are in this thing together. I honor your generation. I honor the elder generation. And we are in this thing together. For the first time in the past couple of weeks, I looked at this. And it said that Elijah took the mantle and he folded it up nice and neat. And he smote the waters. And the waters parted. And then I read, I get emotional, you just have to bear with me, in verse 14, that when that generation was over with, gone to heaven, Elijah took the mantle, and he did not do it right. He did not do it the way Elijah did it. How dare you? I tell you, I'm going to chase this rabbit down the hole. Elijah took the mantle, didn't fold it, I guess just wrinkled up, and he smote the waters, and what happened? The waters parted. I'm here to tell you something. It ain't got nothing to do with the generation. It ain't got nothing to do with the style. They worship the Lord. We worship the Lord. The middle generation worship the Lord. It's got nothing to do. I'm here to tell you, it's what it's got to do with is the anointing, the power of God, and the same power that saved your great-grandmother. The same power that saved your great-grandfather in the 1800s is the same power that will save your sons and your daughter. The same power that raised Lazarus from the dead is the same power that will heal you and your broken heart right now. Can I obey the Lord? Church, just kind of hang with me for, give me about two personal moments. Melinda, Shelly, put your hand on her shoulder. Cheryl, on the other shoulder. It's been long enough through Jericho. In the name of Jesus, cancer, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Cancer, die. Your cancer demons on assignment of affliction, leave in the name of Jesus this very moment. In the name of Jesus. In no other name but the name of Jesus. In the name that every tongue is going to confess. In the name that every knee is going to bow. In the name of Jesus. So be it. So be it. Stand all over this house.
Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin here, and I'm so excited that you came to worship with us today. My prayer is that something in this service, whether through worship or the word, changed you and gave you hope for the week. If you'd like to share that opportunity with us or whatever's happened in your life, there's a QR code that's going to appear on the screen. Just scan that code and it'll take you to our Connect card. We'll connect with you and you have chances to leave all kind of notes or prayer requests that we can gather together and pray with you about throughout the week. Thank you again so much for worshiping with us. We hope you have a great day.